When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench. So Giancarlo Stanton just singled in LeMahieu in the eighth inning with nobody out. Left center single that dropped in, and LeMahieu scores the go-ahead run. Yankees lead Boston 2-1 now, and he had the hit off of a slider off of Ottavino, the former teammate in New York with the Yankees, now with the Red Sox. And nice job by Stanton. He was over 2 in the game, and he just drove in the go-ahead run in the eighth. And there's still trouble on the base pass. They got runners on first and second with nobody out, and they lead by a run here. And Odor's coming up, and he's 1-for-3 in the game. So that's all happening. I did see Zeke Elliott today doing, like, a press conference, and I thought he looked good. I mean, he said he weighed 218, and it was the lowest he's weighed since college, like his freshman year of college. Odor just got the runners over to second and third. So nice job there by Odor. Odor really has been this crazy, like, wild fan-type player. Getting everybody all jacked up, high-fiving with everybody, different handshakes with everybody, leader in the dugout, gets everybody all rowdy and riled up. He just bunted the runners over. When's the last time you saw a guy drop a good bunt and move the runners over, or seen guys hit and run or steal bases in Major League Baseball? Honestly, that's a lost art.
I know you're allowed to bunt the American League in this day and age.
I mean, honestly, you never see it. It's just, I almost fell over seeing him lay down a bunt. Yeah, I got to tell you, everything changed. People can say whatever they want. Everything changed when they started checking them all for sticky. The sticky icky, they started, you know, checking gloves and belts and hats and whatever after they come out of the game. And ever since then, guys are hitting and guys are, you know, raking and they're scoring runs. And some people think they've changed the balls. Some people think it's strictly because they've started checking for these cheating pitchers. It really is unbelievable. So I guess tonight they had the, oh, there's a deep shot to the wall, to the warning track. That's going to score another run. It's going to drive in. Torres just drove in Guardy Party with a sack fly and gets Stanton over to third, 3-1 Yankees. So they've scored two off Ottavino here in the eighth. to take a 2-run lead. Anyway, they had the ring ceremony for the Tampa Bay Bucks tonight. Had a big ring party. Tom Brady looks like James Dean with his hairdo. And his, I mean, what is that, 7 rings now? You can't keep track of it. You can't even make it up. But they showed him getting his ring. Everybody's talking about it. Big party tonight in Tampa. Meanwhile, they had the parade today in Milwaukee for the NBA champs, the Bucks, and that was a drunken festival. Everybody was hammered at that. I saw PJ Tucker just chugging champagne. Absolutely chugging. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map Radio Network, Sports Byline, USA, Armed Forces Radio. It's Pharrell on the bench. And as I said before, I don't know if you caught it the first hour, but this is my last live show for a few days. I'll be out tomorrow and all of next week. I'll be back on the air on Coast to Coast and Pharrell on the bench on August 2nd, the week of August 2nd, Monday, August 2nd. And on the TV side, they'll do Pharrell Coast to Coast every day per usual. On the radio side, they'll be airing football shows from Sports Grid Radio during the day, from the 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern shows. The pro and college football shows will air, re-air at night in the 10 to 12 East live window, and then re-air overnights on Sports Map, Sports Byline, everywhere else. So I'll be out. You won't hear me. I'll be back, hopefully. All things being equal, August 2nd. So, yeah, I don't know what was better. The Buccaneers Super Bowl rings with the twist-off caps. They got the top of the ring with all the diamonds spins off, comes off the ring. And that sounds like losing diamonds waiting to happen. Hold on, honey. I'm hammered here at the resort in Hawaii. I think I'll twist off my diamonds and leave them over here on this table.
Sounds like a good place to store drugs.
You know what I mean? Or store the drugs inside the ring. That's like James Bond stuff right there. Maybe you could put a phone line in there or a phone tap, like a wire tap, like a bug. And then you got the Bucks having their party, and that's been an alcohol-infused Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. 3 days of DUIs and people falling on their faces. It's Pharrell on the bench.
You're listening to a different kind of sports talk.
We're not just talking about sports,
but talk about sports you can use. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, so I was looking at this ring. It is pretty cool when you twist it off, right? It's got the removable top. And then it says February 7, 21, NFL history was made when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers historic, you know, that's engraved in the middle, historic, became the first team to win the Super Bowl at home in Raymond James Stadium. That's underneath the diamonds on the cap that twists off. And then when you look at inside the ring, it's got surrounding scores of the team's 4 playoff wins. The hand engraved stadium celebrates the fact that the Buccaneers were the first to win in their own stadium. The single diamond on the stadium field is placed on the spot where the Buccaneers ran out of the tunnel, but it's got all of their wins. 31-23 over Washington, then 30-20 at New Orleans, then 31-26 at Green Bay, and then 31-9 when they trounced the Chiefs in the Super Bowl and humiliated them. You got to admit, those are nice rings. 300 and something diamonds, 319 diamonds in honor of the 31-9 win. You got to admit, it's pretty swanky. And I mean, honestly, if I'm Brady, I'll be, you know, there's obvious love affairs with Boston and with the rings that he won in playing for the Patriots. I mean, the guy, you know, he won 6 Super Bowls there, so it's not like he'll ever forget those. But I have to say, the one, you know, when you got 6 of them from one team and then one from the other in Tampa, it kind of stands out. It's like the redheaded stepchild of his rings. He's got all these Patriot rings, and then he's got this one beautiful giant ring that's bigger than all the other ones from Tampa, because they keep getting bigger every year. These teams that win, they just put these enormous, they're like cars on their hands. And I got to be honest with you, I see these guys wearing these things all the time on television. NBA guys, NFL guys, whatever, they all wear their Super Bowl rings and NBA title rings and the like. And I don't know about you, but I think when they're enormous like that, when they're gigantic and they're just so gaudy and just too big for their hands, and it doesn't matter how big the guy is, they're just too big. I think they're great for memorabilia. Like, I have all the Steelers 6 rings and in, you know, remakes. They're badass, they're really cool. And they're, you know, fake, but they're really cool. But I have the original 6 that they have. And I mean, they're just so enormous. You could, like, I think you look foolish wearing them. Like, guys wear them on TV, like when they're doing their shows and when they're making appearances and things like that. And I just think, and you see them, they always know to have it on too, because they're always waving it around in front of the camera. They're always, guys are like, yeah, they're always making sure you see it. And it's just, it's bigger than their heads. And I think they look stupid. I really do. I've never understood it. The concept of, let's see how big we can make it. I mean, it looks like they have a yacht on their finger. I mean, it's just so, I just think it looks so ridiculous. So anyway, they came out with the NHL schedule tonight for next season. And obviously everything's different. It's going to be on ESPN and it's going to be on Turner. So on TNT, I see the first NHL TNT doubleheader is October 13th. And they're going to have the Blackhawks and Avalanche, and then the Rangers and Capitals. And that's their first TNT doubleheader. It's interesting because I saw that I saw a story earlier where the first game of the season, I think the season opener is Tampa and Pittsburgh. So I think they're literally showing the Penguins and Avs, Penguins and Lightning is the first game of the year. So I saw that, and I don't know. I don't think, you know, I like the Penguins. I love the Penguins, whatever. They're my team, but they're not ready for the Lightning. And I know the Lightning's championship, back-to-back cups, Penguins the last to do it before them in 16 and 17, and then you get these back-to-back cup runs for the Lightning. I mean, any way you slice it, they're still the best team in hockey, even though the media crowns the Avalanche and the, you know, either the Avalanche or the Vegas Golden Knights, the Stanley Cup chumps every year. Neither one of them get it done. I mean, that's just all there is to it. I know the Avs certainly have a history and they've won cups. I'll give you that. But they're favored every year to win it, and they don't. So blame me all you want. Or blame yourselves, seriously. So I'm not buying either one of them. So anyway, here's the first, I guess it opens on the 12th with the Lightning raising their banner, followed by the debut of the Kraken playing in Vegas. And then that's on Tuesday night, October 12th. And then Wednesday night is the Canadians and Leafs. And the Hawks at the Avs. The Canadian Leaf game's in Toronto. And the Rangers at the Capitals. And I believe the Vancouver Canucks at the Edmonton Oilers. Jesus, the Edmonton Oilers. Should we just scratch them off now that they're going to fail again? Should we just mark them up as, not going to do anything in the Stanley Cup playoffs again? That their season is just a waste of time? I mean, honestly, all I ever hear about is Connor McDavid. That's all I ever hear about. Connor McDavid, the greatest thing that's ever happened. And he's doing real well in the playoffs with his team. And everybody says the same thing every year. Don't blame him. Don't blame him. Blame the rest of the team that sucks. You can't blame Connor McDavid for anything. Christ forbid, because he's so great. And there's no getting around that he's a great player. But listen, you can argue till the cows come home about him. All I know is, at some point he's got to get it done. Lemieux got it done. Don't get me started on guys that have got it done. I mean, that have, carried a team on their back and got it done. They said the same things about all these players. Are they ever going to get it done? Kanan Taves got it done, right? I mean, the LA Kings were winning multiple Stanley Cups. Think about that. And then you can't get this guy, the best player in the league, they never stop talking about he's better than everybody. Well, then he's got to win a Stanley Cup. That's all there is to it. He keeps winning all these Hart trophies. You can say whatever you want about Sidney Crosby. Everybody calls him names and they call him a woman and everything else. Bottom line is he's got 3 Stanley Cups. You can kiss his ass.
Once again, the first
Olympic gold medal
this year. Is a forward,
what?
Another scorer. Again, the first move Edmonton makes is this guy who's a forward. Like, can you get a defenseman or a goalie for once, please?
I mean, how stupid are they? They never do what they need to do. It's unbelievable. It really is. So, I guess... when we come back, I'll talk about some of the key games. And one other thing about the Islanders, they opened with 13 straight games on the road.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
So TNT's going to broadcast 2 outdoor games in the 22 season. The Winter Classic will be shown from Target Field in Minneapolis when the Wild host the Blues on January 1st. And on February 26th, the NHL Stadium Series lands in Smashville with the Predators hosting the Lightning at Nissan Stadium. October 23rd, the Kraken have their home opener against the Vancouver Canucks. November 20th, the Islanders' first game at their new arena, UBS Arena, will be against the Calgary Flames. Could they have picked a duller game to open up the new arena? Why would you not have the Islanders play the Rangers? Like, what are you doing?
The Rangers, Calgary the Flyers, Flames, the Penguins, anybody in the division, except you go all the way west and go Calgary.
Why would you do that? Why would you play the Calgary effing Flames instead of the Rangers? I mean, honestly, like, who did this? Some idiot? The Canadiens, December 7th against the Lightning at the Bell Center, a rematch of the Stanley Cup Finals. Yeah, no thanks after that great Stanley Cup Finals. That was the worst Stanley Cup Finals in years. I don't care what anybody says. The Lightning kicked their ass up and down the ice. And let me tell you something. They should have swept them. Okay?
And not much of a rematch when you're going to be missing Carey Price and Shea Weber.
When you had a two-man advantage or whatever it was, they had a four-minute power play in that game they lost. A four-minute power play, 3 minutes in overtime were power play minutes, and they couldn't score. And then they give up the goal at the other end, Anderson or whatever, and that was it. They lost. But they should have swept that series. They dominated them. I don't care what anyone says. That's it. I mean, that's that. Canadians and Lightning in a rematch of the Stanley Cup Finals. Jesus. I hope it's better than any of the games we watched. The NHL All-Star Weekends at T-Mobile in Vegas, February 4th and 5th. The Olympic break is February 7th through the 22nd. That's when everybody will be over at Beijing getting the Wuhan flu. That's when everybody will be over there getting a new strain, a new variant. Go to the Winter Games in Beijing with our good friends in China. I mean, they just absolutely hate us. They're hacking us right now as we speak. The Chinese, they love us. Come on over for the Olympics. You're our best friends. April 29th, the regular season ends. There's going to be a number of classic rivalries resuming after last season's conference realignment to best navigate the pandemic restrictions. Among the dates on the schedule, Blackhawks and Wings, October 24th in Chicago, 26th of January in Detroit. Detroit and the Leafs, October 30th in Toronto, 29th in Detroit, February 26th in Toronto, April 26th in Detroit. Leafs and Bruins, November 6th in Toronto, March 29th in Boston, April 29th in Toronto. Canadians and Bruins, November 14th at Boston, December 18th at Montreal, January 12th at Montreal, March 21st at Boston. This is just too long. I'll be doing this forever. I'm not going to do this. Just so you know, the Blues and Blackhawks, Caps and Lightning will start playing. Rangers, Canadians will resume their history as original six. They're not sticking with the baseball-style scheduling introduced last year, which saw teams play consecutive games against the same opponent. The adjustment cut down on travel and helped keep players fresher during the season. It allowed more intense games as animosity between teams ramped up over the course of two and three game series. Blah, 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 blah. So anyway, how about the Islanders, though? Not that they're playing the Flames in their opener in their building, but how about, like, the building's not going to be ready, which, or something like that, because they're not, they're playing 13 straight games on the road to start the season. I mean, what do they play, like, seven or eight games a month? I mean, what do they play, nine games a month, tops, 10? Maximum? Am I crazy, Mafia? They play like once every 3 or 4 days. And sometimes they'll play back-to-back. But what do they play? A maximum of 3 or 4 games a week at best.
Yeah.
And so you're telling me that, I mean, basically, because I'm not looking at it right now, so I'm not going to sit here and search it. But it sounds to me like they're playing a month and a half on the road. Because their first game, didn't I just say? I mean, their first game is November 20th. So they start October. They're playing a month and a week.
Yeah, they are.
They're playing 5 weeks on the road.
I mean, you always do that a little bit with new stadiums and arenas where, like, you don't start them at home because just in case something pops up and they need a little extra time to finish it. But I've read that that's the second – well, that's the longest ever to start a season – and the second longest in the history of the league as far as a road trip. There was like 14 games by, I think, one of the Canadian teams. I think it was the Canucks at some point. But the longest ever to start a season.
I don't even know what that's about. Like, I remember when we opened up Phillips Arena, which is now State Farm Arena in Atlanta. That was originally a you know, it was a hockey and basketball arena. Now it's just a basketball arena and concerts. But originally it was for hockey too. But I remember they opened it up, and I remember calling the first game in there, and that was that. And then we started playing games there, and we lost all of them.
Yeah, it's, speaking of losing, you better get off to a good start if you have 13 games on the road to start your season before you open your arena, because, you know, they, of course, there's going to be energy no matter what. But imagine you go 3-10 and 4-9 to start the season before you get home finally.
Well, I mean, they're a really good hockey team. At least they've been for the last 2 years. And, you know, they went to the game 6 and then game 7 of the conference finals. So back-to-back years. So I think everyone assumes that they will be going back to the conference finals or the Stanley Cup finals. And I think that's a dangerous way to make a living, assuming that you're going to just do it again. You're just going to keep doing it. At some point, you know, maybe they aren't. And this could be one of the reasons that they aren't, that they have to open with 13 straight games on a row. I just saw Boston tie that game in the bottom of the ninth with 2 outs, 3-all with the Yankees. They just tied the game. And it's 3-3 now with 2 outs. So they just blew that game. Chad Green blew the game. I mean, that is unbelievable. You're up 3-1 in the ninth with 2 outs, and you let that happen? Just a fastball right down the middle, meat. And they hit it off the Green Monster. I have to, like, figure it out. I have no clue who that kid is. Because I just want to see. I want to see who had that hit. And I guess it was Hernandez. It was Hernandez doubled to left center. Duran and Verdugo scored to make it 3-all. So Hernandez had the hit. And now Devers is up with a runner at second and still Green in the game. Boone just sat there with his chin in his hand, in his fist, in the dugout, never even flinched, and left him in there. I don't understand. Like, now he's got Chad Green trying to close the door, and what is he, afraid to put Chapman in there now? Is he too worked up after the Phillies game last night? Is that what it is? They used him, so they're not using him again? I mean, what do you have him for if he can't go every night, honestly? Because this plan didn't work so well. I cannot believe that pitch I saw him throw. Just straight down, low, you know, knee high, right down the middle. Like, here, go ahead and hit it. Let's see if you're a major league hitter. Let me see if you can drive this ball and score 2 runs. That's exactly what he did. And now Devers hits one a mile in the sky. But it's going to stay in the park.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, so you get the tying run. Boston's outplayed him, though, 10 hits to 4, but the Yankees had a 3-1 lead, and they blew it. So there you go. And then right now the Dodgers in the 6th lead the Giants 3-1. I went with the Dodgers tonight in Bueller at Chavez Ravine, and the A's and Mariners are scoreless in the 5th. The Tigers have won 7 in a row. They are on fire. The Braves beat the Phillies 7-2. Padres 3-2 over the Marlins. Rays 5-4-10 over the Indians. They came back from 4-1 down to win it. Cardinals 3-2 over the Cubs. Angels 3-2 over the Twins.
Listen to Sports Grid. You can always go out in the woods, find a rabbit, take his foot, and rub it. Or you can get the winning edge right here. And you won't get any blood on you. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, for Ellen Event, so I see this bet here on FanDuel, a two-leg parlay outright, Islanders Stanley Cup and the Giants in Super Bowl 56. So the Giants outright to win the Super Bowl plus 6,500 and the Islanders plus 2,000 to win the Stanley Cup. And it's a $50 wager and to win $69,300. So here's the Yankees driving in the go-ahead run in the 10th. Gardner with the sac fly to the wall and left. And so it's 4-3 Yankees now in the 10th. Remember, Kike Hernandez doubled in the two runs to tie the game in the 9th. Obviously, today there was a lot of talk about Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins deleted a tweet questioning his future in the NFL after the league announced their new COVID rules. Bottom line is, that got everybody all up in arms. The team experiencing an outbreak, among unvaccinated players will forfeit any game that can't be rescheduled. In addition, players from both teams will not receive their game checks in the event of an outbreak-related forfeit. Hopkins tweeted that being put in a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the NFL. And then he deleted it, but it was too late. How many players around the league share in Hopkins' frustration? A lot of it started with Cole Beasley in Buffalo deciding not to receive the vaccine. He said in June he didn't plan on getting vaccinated. And a lot of other NFL players hold my position as well, but aren't in the right place in their careers to be so outspoken. Anyway, there's a lot of reports. It's your choice originally going from it's your choice to get the COVID vaccine to now feeling forced. Players are saying forced to get it because of the restrictions for unvaccinated guys. The NFL essentially mandating players get the vaccine without actually mandating the players get the vaccine. That's what they're doing. Matt Judon of the Pats tweeted, quote, the NFLPA Forelling sucks, end quote. Yeah. Blame the union that you're in the union that you voted to allow forfeits to go unpaid. You voted yes. I mean, I almost fell over today when I heard that they actually voted for this. The union voted for this. They approved this. They already did this last year. They approved this last year. They're just, the league is doing what they can because the players allowed this last year. They voted for this last year into this year. For last year, this year, and moving forward. I mean, how stupid are you? And then you turn around and blame the union? You mean the union that you just voted yes on that issue? I mean, what's happening here is it's a very powerful union, just so we're clear. Very powerful, but I think there's the haves and have-nots. I think there's some guys that know what they're doing that run it, and I think that there's a lot of guys that are in it that are stupid idiots that just don't listen, don't read, don't know, don't follow it hard and closely enough to know everything, to know all of what's going on around them. They just don't care. I know they'll never admit that, but all they care about is getting their fat paycheck and getting that fat contract signed. But the facts of the matter are that those contracts aren't guaranteed. So living in the NFL is a dangerous place to make a living. Boy, dying ain't much of a living, boy. So Baker Mayfield acknowledges getting vaccinated is a competitive advantage. The benefits go beyond that in terms of health and public safety. I mean, bottom line is that's accurate. if you're on a team that's 85% vaccinated or higher, you're on your way. But if you play a team that's sick, they're going to forfeit the game and nobody's going to get paid. So I don't care what advantage you have. If you're not one of the teams at the threshold, are you really thinking about winning a championship? You see what I'm saying? Okay, so now if you're not getting vaccinated and you got all these other teams that are getting vaccinated, somebody in the damn locker room should say, hey, man, we're going to have a chance. Are you vaccinated? Let's go through this because this could be a two-week healthy dude missing games. And in this league, this ain't the NBA. In this league, that could be it for you. The right person misses 2 weeks. That's it. Your ass is out. That's crazy. Players across the NFL had until July 2nd to opt out of the upcoming season with their 21 salary rolling over to 22. That deadline has passed, meaning Hopkins and others would face significant financial penalties in the event they decline to play. It's too late. July 2nd. Are you kidding? Tomorrow, it's the 23rd.
Well, even then, I know they brought this up when Rodgers started, you know, allegedly, you know, making his demands, and people were like, oh, well, could he just say, well, I'm going to opt out of this season for, you know, the COVID and stuff. And I think it's that you have to have some kind of serious medical condition that has been on the books previously that would be affected by COVID in order to opt out. It can't even just be like, you know what, I don't feel comfortable this year, you know, I'm opting out. Like, you need to actually have legit, you know, condition that's saying, well, I have this, and if I get COVID, it can kill me.
Yeah, I mean, it's already too late. It doesn't matter what you have. You had to have that done previously. You had to already have done that. Now Boston's got a runner at third with nobody out, and Bogarts is up, 4-3 Yankees. You just feel like it's coming, right, that they're going to blow this. By the way, the Rays traded for heavy-hitting Nelson Cruz. He might be 41, but he's still a big bopper. Can you imagine they get that slugger for the rest of the trip against the Red Sox in the East? That's a great deal for them, if you ask me. Nelson Cruz is a badass. And, man, will he smack it around that sandbox. That building is a joke. I mean, you could pop a ball up in the infield, it's a home run. Nelson Cruz going to the Rays, and they rallied tonight to beat Cleveland. They were down 4-1, and the Indians blew that game. And I bet on him. Drag. There's nothing I hate worse than losing a bet. Oh, here's a wild pitch to tie the game. He's safe. I mean, this is unbelievable. Kresge throws a wild pitch, and nobody out now, and they tie it up. Nice job, idiot. You think he could throw the ball over the plate? He bounced it in. Oh, my God. I mean, what a way to blow it. He throws a wild pitch, you know, 4 feet off the plate outside. Higgy had no chance to catch that ball. No chance at all. I mean, my God. I mean, this game, are you kidding me? The two-run Kiki double to tie it in the ninth, and now this, a wild pitch ties it up? Oh, and he throws another one. I mean, Christ, get him out of here. Oh, he's blaming the balls. He's blaming the balls. This guy's blaming the balls. He's like, give me new balls. How about this guy's all over the place. He's blaming the baseball, this guy. He's yelling at the umpire. This guy, Krispy Kreme. Krispy Kreme is throwing. I mean, that one was, he threw that ball 50 feet. I don't know what's going on. They got like some bat boy in the Yankees dugout, and the guy looks like he's 50 years old, and he's in the Yankees dugout in a Red Sox uniform, and he's like eating a bag of something. Like, it looks like, I mean, he's just working a granola bar or something, and he's wearing a Red Sox uniform, and he's got his helmet off, and he's just going to town on this food. I mean, come on, bro. What are you doing? Your boy Fernando Tatis sets the MLB record for fastest player to 50 career homers and steals. Every day that guy does something. It's crazy. Tatis is an absolute badass. I saw the, I told you earlier, the Tucker drinking that champagne at that parade for the Bucks. I mean, he was just guzzling champagne. Oh, my God, the ball gets away again. Oh, I guess it's Brantley in there. Not Higgy. I don't even know who this is. They have the NFL MVP odds up now at FanDuel. Mahomes, the favorite. Then Aaron Rodgers, Brady, Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, Lamar, Stafford, Russell Wilson, and Justin Herbert. Don't call me Bobby Hebert. And then Kyler Murray at plus 2,300. There you go. Oh, my God. I can't. I'm watching this guy's pitching. 1 minute he's in the dirt. 1 minute he's wild pitch. Next minute he's up by the face. He's all over the place. And the kid, Yerman Mercedes, he deleted his retirement posts and he showed up for work today to play in Charlotte. How immature is that kid? They said, oh my God, he threw another wild pitch. This guy is absolutely throwing this game away and Aaron Boone is leaving him in the game. Oh my God, this guy is melting down like an ice cream cone. Meanwhile, they got a guy out working in the bullpen. Wilson's up, the left-hander throwing. Meanwhile, the guy, Krispy Kreme, is throwing wild pitches left and right. He's thrown three or four wild pitches already in the inning. Oh, there's an idea. Send the pitching coach out finally after he's already thrown four wild pitches. He threw the game away. What are the odds, Mafia, that he throws another one to lose the game? Because the runner's at third now with nobody out. I mean, this game's over.
I'd say the odds are pretty high given what he's done so far. I mean, what do you say when you go out there? Like, you know you're supposed to throw it to the mitt, right?
I mean, honestly, this kid looks like he's going to cable in his pants. Look, the Yankees are still trying to get Trevor Story. I mean, have they not noticed they have pitching problems? I mean, is Cashman that stupid? He doesn't realize they need pitching. Now. Oh, my God. And meanwhile, he's facing J.D. Martinez. He looks scared to death. One more pitch in the dirt or wild pitch or anything that gets away from Brantley, and it's over. So any kind of sack fly ends the game. You know, it's weird. Well, it's hard for me to hear him because I'm doing the show, but I feel like Michael Kay and these guys should just be like, How bad does this guy suck? He struck out J.D. Martinez, though. Jesus, that was a huge out. I'll give him that. It's Pharrell on a bench. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
So, Renfro with a sack fly to right, and Bogart scored 5-4. Red Sox win. Cover! I hit the Boston money line tonight on that one. And then I just wanted to say, don't forget, I'll be out until August 2nd. I'm off tomorrow and all of next week. Back on Monday, August 2nd, doing Coast to Coast and Pharrell on the bench. I'm going to Cali. Surfing, chilling the most, causing trouble. Mafia's already got the speedy weedy guy going to my beach crib, my mansion villa on the beach. He's got it all set up for me. Your boy, the Kron delivery boy, shows up at the doorstep, courtesy of Mafia. He's always giving me gifts when I get to Cali. And then I'm going to hit the ocean. Hopefully, I won't get eaten by a shark. Hopefully, I won't get hit with the COVID. The Delta. I look forward to spending 6 hours on a plane with a mask on and walking through the airport. Hopefully I won't see anyone get in a fist fight on the plane or get into an argument with the stewardess or get into a racial confrontation on the plane that I see now on a daily basis on the evening news with David Muir. Airplane violence skyrocketing this year since the COVID. Everybody's losing their gizzard. I just want to have a peaceful morning. I'm going to the airport at 4 a.m. And my dog is very mad at me, and he's been growling and ready to attack. He's very upset that I'm leaving. He doesn't really care that 34C and the kids are leaving. He's just mad I'm leaving because I give him the most table scraps and I feed him. You guys be cool. I'll see you August 2nd on Coast to Coast at 4 p.m. East. And until then, see you.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home, plus fast and free shipping site-wide. Shop now through July 28th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.